If you brought your Bibles with you, and I hope you did, I would encourage you to open up to Psalms 95. Psalm 95. I've entitled this message this morning, Come with Thanksgiving. This week, as you know, most of our country will celebrate Thanksgiving Day. This tradition began in 1621 at the Plymouth Plantation, when the surviving pilgrims invited their new Native American friends to join them in a feast of thanksgiving to God for His goodness towards them. So 399 years ago, next year will be the 400th anniversary of that first celebration of Thanksgiving Day in America. In 1863, during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln established this as a national day of thanksgiving to God. And although most people in our country do celebrate a day with family, most do so without giving thanks to God. This is because, largely, because they do not know God as we do. And therefore, they do not honor Him or give thanks to Him. Those of us who do know God through Jesus Christ should give thanks to Him for who He is and for what He has done. Amen? In fact, we were created by God and recreated in Christ for that very purpose. That we should worship God, and that we should give thanks to Him, and that we should live to the praise of His glory. That's our purpose. In fact, the practice of giving thanks to God goes much further back than simply 400 years. It goes back to the very beginnings of mankind, because that's what we were created for. You remember that after God protected Noah and his family in the ark from the worldwide judgment of God, Noah built an altar to offer up sacrifices of thanksgivings to God. Centuries later, Abraham built altars to God and offered up sacrifices of thanksgiving to Him. Later, Moses oversaw the building of the tabernacle and the institution of daily sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. Still later, King David would offer up thanksgiving sacrifices to God and would write over and over again of our need to give thanks to God. This practice of giving thanks to God did not end with David, but continued as a practice by God's chosen people through the centuries, even to this very day. That is because our God is worthy of our thanks and praise. Amen? Our God delights in our thanks and praise. And our God commands us to give thanks to Him and to praise His holy name. As I said earlier, our God created us and recreated us in Christ for the express purpose that we should worship Him, glorifying Him and giving thanks to Him. So today, in preparation for Thanksgiving Day, I want us to look briefly at what God's Word teaches us about giving thanks to Him. We will see three things. Number one, we are commanded to give thanks to God. Number two, we are to give thanks to God at all times. And number three, we are to give thanks to God in all things. So first, God Himself commands us to give thanks to Him. Over and over and over and over again in both the Old and New Testaments, speaking through His chosen servants, God commands us to give thanks to Him. In fact, giving thanks to God is mentioned 150 times in the Old Testament alone. Let me remind you of a few of these passages. We're going to start at Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. Let me read that to you. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. We've already done that this morning, haven't we? We have come to sing to the Lord. We have made a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I make a joyful noise louder than others at some time, so I'm glad it's a joyful noise, right? That includes all of us, whether we're able to sing or not. We can lift our voices in praise of Him. Amen? We come into His presence with thanksgiving. And we sing to Him songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God. And He is King above all gods. There's only one true and living God. Amen? Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know this. That is something to be thankful for. David goes on to write, Psalms 97:12. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous ones, and give thanks to His name. Psalm 100, verse 4, we heard this earlier. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Psalm 106:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is always good. And we can give thanks for Him. And then Psalm 136. You can turn there if you'd like. This will not be on the screen. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3. We could read the whole psalm, but for the sake of time, we'll read the first three verses. Listen to what the Word of God says to us. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. You see a theme there? Okay? All of us who have experienced the love of God, that chesed love, that steadfast love of God. We give thanks for that love, don't we? And we give thanks that that love endures forever. Nothing can change the love of God towards His chosen, redeemed children. That's something I am very thankful for. Even the prophet Isaiah speaks of the need for us to give thanks to God. In Isaiah 12:4, we read these words, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, proclaim that His name is exalted. We are commanded over and over and over again to give thanks to the Lord. There are several passages in the New Testament that also command us to give thanks to God. One of my favorites is in Colossians, the book we're studying right now in our home fellowship groups. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Listen to what Paul writes here. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, do everything in Jesus' name. In other words, in a manner that pleases and honors Jesus. And be giving thanks to God the Father as you do. And note this. Paul tells us that we can only give thanks to the Father through His Son, Jesus. That is because Jesus is the only way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Amen? Oh, and we can be thankful that we know that. Amen? Jesus Himself made the way for us to be able to have a relationship with the Father, by being born again spiritually and by being credited with the righteousness of the Son. We are therefore able to approach the Father with our prayers, with our praise and our thanksgiving. Prior to our being born again in Christ, we were spiritually dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And so we refused to honor God or to give thanks to Him. Now, through Christ, we have come to know God. We've come to know God and be known by God. And we are filled with thanksgiving for who He is and for all that He has done. Nevertheless, we are commanded by God to give thanks to God. And there is so much for us to be thankful for that this should be the easiest command for us to follow. But wait, there is more. Number two, we are to give thanks to God at all times. Now, does this mean that we should remain here in this sanctuary doing nothing else but praising God and giving thanks to Him for the rest of our lives? Well, that would be nice. In fact, that would be a wonderful way to spend our remaining time on earth. We might get hungry, you're right. No, God has called us to live our lives for His glory, doing whatever work the Lord has called us to do. But as we do so, we should be praising God and giving thanks to Him. Listen to two more passages that repeat this admonition to us. First, Ephesians 5:20, where Paul writes these words, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father." Giving thanks always. In other words, practicing thankfulness, not just one day of the year, not even just on Sundays, but practicing thankfulness throughout each and every day. And then in Hebrews 13:15, we read these words, "Through Him then," that is through Christ, "let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God." That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. It's very clear. God desires us, His chosen people, redeemed by His grace, to continually offer up praise and thanks to Him. And such sacrifices please our Heavenly Father. In other words, we should give thanks to God every chance we get. Arthur Pink, in his commentary on Hebrews, writes this, "To abound in fervent praise and thanksgiving unto God is the abiding duty of the Christian. To praise God continually, we must cultivate perpetual gratitude. And surely that should not be too difficult for us." Think about it. It shouldn't be difficult at all when we think about how much we have to be thankful for. I mean, the list is endless. I'm thankful for what is happening right now, that we are gathered together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able to worship Him together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are able to preach God's Word. And we are able to hear the preaching of God's Word. Should I go on? How about the fact that your heart is beating right now? That you're breathing? That you're able to hear? That you're able to think? The list is endless. It is absolutely endless. It's infinite. The things that we should be thankful for and can give thanks for. So let us glorify God by giving thanks to Him at all times and for all things. Now this sounds strange to us at first, because we can think of a great many things that we do not think to give God thanks for. Should we thank God for our weaknesses? Should we thank God for our illnesses or injuries? Should we thank Him for the political divide in our nation? Should we thank Him for the current worldwide pandemic? The simple answer to all of those questions is yes. Yes, we are to give thanks to God for everything, including all circumstances that we find ourselves in. At least, that is what God has commanded us in His holy word. Listen to Ephesians 5:20 once again. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. And I want to remind you, the Apostle Paul wrote these words while chained to a Roman soldier, under arrest, awaiting trial that could result in the death penalty. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father. Paul had experienced many challenges and much suffering in the course of serving the cause of Christ. And he instructs us, give thanks always and for everything. In his letter to the Thessalonians, he takes it even one step further. Listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Paul writes, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We do not have to ask, is this God's will for us? It is. His express will for us. That in every circumstance we find ourselves in, we can give thanks to God. Paul clearly answers my question. Should we give thanks to God for everything and in all circumstances? Yes. But how? How are we able to do this? Well, like the Apostle Paul, we are able to do this by being in Christ Jesus and having the Spirit of Christ be in us. By being in Christ Jesus, our eyes are opened up to two powerful spiritual truths that make it possible for us to give thanks to God in all things, in all circumstances, for everything. And I want to share these two spiritual truths with you. The first is this: all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You know where that's found. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Let me read that to you. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Praise be to God. All of us who are in Christ, and I hope that describes you this morning as being in Christ. All of us who are in Christ have come to know that our Heavenly Father is sovereign. We sang it earlier, He is seated on His throne. Amen? He is sovereign. He is ruling over all the affairs of men, over all that happens in His creation. As Dr. R.C. Sproul liked to say, there is not one random molecule in the universe. God holds it all together. And God directs all things whatsoever that come to pass. It's all according to His divine will. We also know that He has a plan in all things. And here He tells us that His plans are for our spiritual good. He is using our circumstances, no matter what they are, to further conform us to the likeness of His Son, Jesus. Some of us are living in difficult circumstances, or we have experienced difficult circumstances, or we shall experience difficult circumstances. But we can know and trust that our God, who loves us with a steadfast love, has a plan in those circumstances, and thereby we can give thanks. He informs us here that not only are we justified in Christ, as amazing as that is, but we are also glorified in Christ, as though we are seated with Christ already in the heavenly places. And spiritually we are. We know that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Amen? So we can give thanks in all and every circumstance because we know without any doubt that our Heavenly Father loves us and that He is in control and He is using these exact circumstances for our good and for His glory. The second powerful spiritual truth is this. The sufferings of this present time will result in eternal glory. Sufferings lead to eternal glory. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 8, verses 14 through 18. Let me read that to you, and we'll put verse 18 up on the screen. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Listen to this, provided that we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. No matter what we must suffer in this life, and some suffer terribly in this life. But no matter what we suffer in this life, God tells us it doesn't begin to compare with the eternal weight of glory that awaits us. And the sufferings now are momentary. For our life is momentary in comparison with the eternity that God has prepared for us. Amen? So when we face difficult times, we can give thanks to God that these are but momentary light afflictions in comparison to the glory that awaits us. So, as we give thanks to God, as we give thanks to God at all times, and as we give thanks to God in all things, it changes us. It glorifies Him because it pleases Him. And that is what He desires from us, His beloved children. It is a form of worship, and worship is what He deserves and desires from us. But it also changes us, because it takes our eyes off of ourselves and off of the things of this world. And instead, we turn our eyes, our praise, and our hopes to Him. And that puts the things of this world into their proper perspective. We sing that, don't we? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen? The things of this world are temporary, momentary, light afflictions, and they do not compare to the eternal glory that awaits all of God's redeemed children. So my prayer for you and for me, my prayer for us, is that we would cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving to God. That we would practice giving thanks to Him, giving praise to Him for all things at all times. That would be the attitude with which we would live this life for His glory. And what a blessing it is to live our lives in that way. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this from time to time, because it is so easy to focus on the negative and to forget to give thanks and praise for all of the wonderful things that God is doing, both the physical blessings, but almost more importantly, the spiritual blessings. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity for us to take pause and to be reminded that we are to give thanks to You in all things and at all times, in each and every circumstance. Father God, thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us through Your Son, Jesus. And You have opened our eyes to see who You are. And we give You thanks for that. We give You thanks for revealing Yourself to us and for revealing to us the way of salvation that is through Your Son, through His substitutionary death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection. We now can have eternal life if we believe and trust in Him. And we give You thanks for that. We give You thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells us and empowers us. We give You thanks for the church, the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters who You have provided for us, that we might be encouraged and built up, and that we might encourage and build up one another. Help us to give You thanks in all things. And I pray that we will have opportunities this Thanksgiving holiday, as we gather with family and friends, opportunities to give thanks to You, to share a testimony of You, to encourage others. Father God, we pray for Your continued blessings on Your people, for which we will return thanks and praise unto You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.